Let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this hour and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I would like you to imagine with me our gospel reading this evening. The old sage squints up at the constellation. A lone torch belches behind him at the top of the tower. His lips pucker and twist. He notes the position of two lesser lights, the ones the Romans called Jove and Saturnus. The celestial bodies pull together in a strange and wonderful conjunction. And then a flash of light in the night sky. A star dancing between Jove and Saturnus. It blazes joy. The sage gasps and a shiver runs down his wrinkled neck. He digs his stylus out from under the sill, dips it into the ink pot, and scratches a notation on a chart. The next night, two sages sit on the tower's height. The old sage points his middle-aged companion to Jove and Saturnus there in the sky, and his voice rasps out in a sibilant whisper. Watch for it, just between the two. Once again, a flash, a blaze, joy, joy. The heavenly body blooming in the sky. The two men look at one another. The third night, three sages now sit beside the stone balustrade. It is the youth's turn to see the sight. The first two men guide his untrained vision to the conjuncting planets. Again, it is the aged sage who rasps. Behold, Jove and Saturnus together, a joining of kingship in the Westland Judea. And now, and for the third night in a row, an eruption of celestial light. The star speaks. It signs forth holy joy in creation's tongue and writ. The invisible shines through the visible. The three men are on their knees. They bow before the majesty of the one that the star heralds. And the words of an ancient Hebrew text from the archives overwhelms their minds. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. A star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Up and let us away, cries the youth. We have seen his star, and we must worship him. It's a fascinating scene to imagine. These Persian mages pondering the heavens, seeing the star and understanding something of its significance. Of course, to their ancient minds, the hierarchies of heaven and earth blend together. Every bud and creeping vine, every star and bird's flight participates and speaks in the cosmos's grand sermon. And while their pagan minds, their Gentile minds, often misconstrue the liturgical import of the wheeling heavenly principalities and powers, they often fall down before those stars to worship the stars. They do recognize with the ancient Hebrews that the sun, the moon, and the stars govern the times and seasons. And so they would sing with the psalmist. The heavens declare the glory of El, the high God, and the star-encrusted firmament tells the work of his hands. Day to day flows out speech. Night to night reveals wise knowledge. There is no speech and there are no words without their voice being heard. In the whole earth, their voice goes forth. At the world's boundary are their utterances. These turbaned sages would grin at Deborah's chanted poetry. From heaven, the stars fought. From their roads, they fought with Sisera. They would nod at God's word to Job. Where were you when I created everything? And the morning stars sang together. The sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy. With St. Paul, the wise men would marvel at the puzzle of the principalities and powers of this world, the angels and archons, the thrones and rulers in the heavenly places, realities that on the one hand make clear the invisible reality of God, but on the other hand are worshipped with great peril. But sisters and brothers, if we were to stand on that stone tower this evening with those ancient sages, would we see what they see? Would we see the star flashing between Jupiter and Saturn? Would we hear God's voice speaking through it of joy everlasting? Up until the last 200 or 300 years, Christians believed that the universe offered its signs of God. They believed that creation itself is a weirded, rejoicing, speaking reality that announces the Almighty in strange and wonderful ways. They joyed in the signs and seasons as manifestations of the providing hands of God. And they saw every sharp rock and twisting tree, every bubbling brook and singing star as alive to God, praising God, heralding God, pointing to God. But in the 21st century, we imagine a very different world. A dead creation unable to speak, unable to praise the maker of all things. We are like the boy Eustace in C.S. Lewis's delightful children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Eustace stumbles into Narnia as a petulant, ignorant modern. In the course of his first adventure, he meets a talking angelic star. He is dumbstruck. "In our world," says Eustace, "in our world, a star is a huge ball of flaming gas." The star smiles at the boy. "Even in your world, my son, that is not what a star is, but what a star is made of." Now, neither C.S. Lewis nor early Christians intended anyone to jump into astrology or worship the wandering planets. But like the Magi, they could see the stars for what they truly were, heralds of God. And so this evening, the Spirit of God opens our eyes to see the stars and all the wilds of creation for what they truly are, heralds, messengers of Jesus Christ. The late Pope Benedict XVI put it well. "The cosmos," he said, "speaks of Christ, even though its language is not yet fully intelligible to man in his present state. The language of creation provides a great many pointers. It gives man an intuition of the Creator." The Spirit opens our eyes this evening. We crawl on a camel and brave the road with the three wise men. And the star goes before us. It tantalizes. It dances across the sky. It sings. It is no mere ball of flaming gas. It is a herald of the world's destiny. It points. It beckons. It skips to Bethlehem. The world is far more wild and weird than we think. And so our joy is full to overflowing. And this heavenly body rests over an ordinary house on the village outskirts. And behind the creaking cedar door, through the motley herd of milk cow and three goats, up the stairs to the hearth, the star's promise, right there, the baby boy on Mary's lap, Jesus, the life of the world, the heartbeat, the pulsing heartbeat of creation itself. And all we can do in this moment is lift our eyes and fall down and worship. And so this evening, the Spirit opens our eyes to see creation for what it really is. A sign of Jesus Christ. A herald of Jesus. A pointer to Jesus. So when you go outside this evening, if it's clear, look up. Behold the stars in their courses, and recognize what these angelic bodies sing. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of the whole cosmos, has come to be here in this place. Fall down and worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.